Hey everyone, welcome back to another deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at inductive Bible study.
Okay.
Specifically, how to survey a book.
Sounds good.
And we're going to be using a lecture by Dr. David Bauer.
All right.
So, you know, one of the things that I thought was so fascinating about his approach is how he talks about how the techniques that we use to study the Bible are actually found in universal patterns of communication.
Yeah.
We see them in nature, we see them in art, we see them in conversation.
Right.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. It highlights just how the Bible, while it's a unique and sacred text, it still utilizes these fundamental principles of communication that resonate with us on a deeper level.
Okay, so Dr. Bauer talks about these things called primary and auxiliary relationships.
Okay.
And primary relationships are all about meaning.
Right.
You know, things like comparison and contrast.
Gotcha.
And then the auxiliary relationships are more about the placement of material. So it's like they're providing the structure that supports the meaning.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So like if you were building a house, the primary relationships would be like your foundation and your walls.
Mm-hmm.
The essential elements and the auxiliary relationships would be like your framework, your support beams.
I see.
They might not be the main attraction, but they're crucial for holding everything together.
Okay, so let's see these things in action.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of these auxiliary relationships.
All right.
So the first one that Dr. Bauer talks about is interchange.
Okay.
And this is where the writer alternates between different elements.
Mm-hmm.
He uses the example of the book of Micah.
Right.
Where the prophet goes back and forth between pronouncements of judgment.
Okay.
And messages of hope.
Right.
And it's like he's creating a tapestry,
right?
Weaving together threads of darkness and light.
It's like a striped structure almost,
yeah,
where you get these alternating bands of guilt and punishment, and then restoration and hope, and that movement, that back and forth movement, it not only emphasizes the contrast,
right,
but it also allows for a deeper exploration of each element.
I see.
You get a more complete picture of both God's justice and his mercy.
So you start to see how paying attention to structure really opens up the text.
For sure.
Okay, so then what about intercalation?
Okay.
This is where it starts to get a little bit like, whoa, wait, what?
Yeah, intercalation is really interesting. It's where a seemingly unrelated story or passage is inserted into the middle of another narrative.
Right.
It's like a puzzle piece that doesn't seem to fit at first.
Yeah.
But when you look closer,
you
realize that it actually unlocks a whole new layer of understanding.
So like, for instance, in Genesis 38, you have the story of Judah and Tamar.
Right.
Right in the middle of the Joseph narrative.
Mm-hmm.
What's the connection?
Yeah. And that's the question that we're supposed to ask, right? What is the connection? Because
right,
it seems totally random.
Yeah, it does.
At first glance. But Dr. Bauer suggests that that story is strategically placed to highlight the contrast between Joseph's integrity and Judah's flawed actions.
Oh.
It's a reminder that God can work through anyone, even those who make mistakes.
Right.
And it deepens our understanding of God's overarching plan.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a great insight.
Thanks.
Okay. And then he has another example in 1 Samuel 25.
Right.
The story of David, Nabal, and Abigail.
Yep, yep.
And I remember reading that and thinking, why is this here?
Yeah, that one's a little bit more subtle.
Okay.
But it's connected to David's conflict with King Saul.
I see.
And Dr. Bauer points out the clever wordplay and the parallels that the writer uses to link Nabal's foolishness to Saul's actions.
Interesting.
It adds this whole other layer of interpretation.
Okay.
Almost like a hidden commentary on the events that are unfolding.
It makes you realize how much you can miss if you just read at surface level.
Totally.
These little details can be packed with meaning. Okay, so moving on. He talks about chiasm.
Okay.
Now, this one always kind of intimidated me.
Right.
Can you bring this down for us?
Yeah. So a chiasm is a literary structure where elements are repeated in an inverted order, like a mirror image.
Okay.
Think of it as ABCBA.
Gotcha.
There's a central point that everything kind of revolves around.
Okay.
And Dr. Bauer uses the example from Matthew 19:30-20:16, where Jesus says, "The first shall be last and the last shall be first."
Right. I remember that passage.
And this statement, it frames a parable about laborers in a vineyard.
Okay. So how does the chiasm work in this example?
Well, what's remarkable is that the parable itself has a nested chiasm.
Oh, wow.
The order that the workers are hired in is the reverse of the order that they're paid.
Whoa.
It's like a literary Russian nesting doll, a chiasm within a chiasm.
That's pretty cool.
And this structure, it emphasizes that central point that God's justice isn't bound by human expectations.
So it's not just a cool literary device. It actually reinforces the meaning.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. Mind blown.
I know, right?
Okay. Speaking of emphasis.
Sure.
He also talks about inclusio.
Yes.
And this is where the same word or phrase appears at the beginning and end of a section.
Right, like bookends.
Yeah.
It's like you have these beautiful bookends and they're holding up a collection of treasured volumes.
Yeah.
And the content within becomes the why behind the blessing or the statement or whatever it is that's being bracketed.
Okay, so I'm starting to see how understanding structure can help us identify the key themes
mm-hmm.
and really grasp the writer's intention.
Absolutely.
But how do we actually put this into practice?
Yeah, that's the big question, right?
Yeah, where do we begin?
Well, Dr. Bauer emphasizes that we should let the book itself guide us.
Okay.
He suggests looking for what he calls higher critical data.
Oh.
Clues within the text that shed light on its historical background.
Okay.
Things like authorship, the original audience, the occasion for writing.
Right.
These can offer valuable insights.
So instead of jumping right into the commentaries and the study notes,
yeah.
we should first try to piece together the context from the book itself.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. But sometimes it feels like I'm reading between the lines.
Sure.
Any tips for deciphering this higher critical data?
Yeah, so Dr. Bauer suggests paying attention to the opening verses.
Yeah.
They often reveal information about authorship or the intended audience.
Mm-hmm.
You might also find references to historical events or cultural practices that can provide context.
Gotcha.
For example, in the book of Philippians, Paul mentions being in prison.
Right.
Which helps us understand the circumstances surrounding the letter.
So it's like being a textual detective.
It is.
We're gathering evidence from the text itself to build a case
totally.
For its historical background. And then we can compare our findings with what the scholars say and see if it all lines up.
Exactly. It's about becoming an active participant in the process of interpretation.
Yes.
Not just passively absorbing information.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's empowering.
It is.
It reminds me of that anecdote that he shared about Dr. Trena.
Oh, yeah.
Giving hour-long overviews of entire books just by focusing on key verses.
I love that story.
Yeah. And he highlighted, you know, how those specific verses illuminated the book's main themes and its overall structure.
Right.
And it's amazing how understanding structure makes you a more efficient and insightful reader.
It really does. It's like having a roadmap for the book.
Yes.
Instead of wandering around aimlessly, you can follow the structural signposts to the most important destinations.
So it sounds like book surveys are all about becoming more attentive and intentional readers.
Precisely. It's about slowing down, observing carefully, and letting the text itself guide our understanding.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh.
All right. So Dr. Bauer has a challenge for our listeners.
He does.
Before we actually dive into his analysis of the book of Jude.
Okay.
He wants you to try your hand at a book survey.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
He's like, okay.
Yeah.
I've given you all this information.
Mm-hmm.
Now you go and do it.
Put it into practice.
Yes. And it's a short book. It's only one chapter.
Right.
But
don't let its size fool you.
Yeah. Don't let its size fool you. It's packed with content.
It's a very rich book.
So just read through Jude.
Yeah.
And see what structural patterns you can identify.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't worry about being perfect.
Right.
Just observe and make note of anything that stands out to you.
Yeah. What literary devices do you see?
Yeah.
What themes emerge? What key verses jump out at you?
What questions come up for you?
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
It's all about the process of discovery.
Absolutely.
And I have a feeling that you will be surprised by what you uncover.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
It's a really fun exercise.
All right. So after you've explored Jude on your own.
Okay.
We will reconvene for another deep dive.
Right.
And we will unpack Dr. Bauer's insights on the structure and message of this fascinating little book.
Sounds good.
But here's the thing that really struck me.
Okay.
And I think it's a great takeaway for our listeners.
Yeah.
Dr. Bauer mentioned that these structural patterns.
Yeah.
They aren't limited to the Bible. We
right.
see them in books.
Mm-hmm.
We see them in movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
We see them in everyday conversations.
It's so true.
It's incredible.
And once you start to recognize these patterns, it changes the way you experience everything.
Yes.
Think about a powerful speech, for example.
Mm-hmm.
If you can identify the chiasm, you can grasp the speaker's main point more easily.
Right.
And you can see how all the supporting arguments connect.
Or even in a novel.
Yeah.
Understanding how the author uses intercalation,
mm-hmm.
weaving seemingly unrelated stories together
right.
can add layers of meaning and depth to your reading experience.
Exactly. And don't forget about those higher critical data clues we talked about.
Yeah.
Paying attention to context can unlock so much.
Absolutely.
Whether you're reading a news article or listening to a podcast,
mm-hmm.
you know, who's the author? What's their background? What might their motivations be?
It helps us become more critical thinkers.
It does.
Less susceptible to manipulation or misinformation.
For sure.
We can evaluate different perspectives and form our own informed conclusion.
Well said.
So as you continue your deep dives,
yeah.
whether it's into the Bible, mm-hmm. a captivating novel,
right.
or even just a conversation with a friend,
sure.
pay attention to structure.
Yep.
Consider the context.
Uh-huh.
And don't be afraid to ask questions.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of inductive Bible study.
You got it.
We hope you've gained some valuable tools to enhance your understanding of the Bible and beyond.
And remember,
the
journey of discovery never ends.
Keep exploring.
Keep questioning.
Keep diving deep.
Keep diving deep.
Until next time.
See you later.
Happy surveying.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. So it's not just a cool literary device. It actually reinforces the meaning.
Reinforces the meaning.
Wow, mind blown. Okay. Speaking of emphasis, he also talks about inclusio.
And this is where the same word or phrase appears at the beginning and end of a section.
Right, like bookends. It's like you have yeah. these beautiful bookends and they're holding up a collection of treasured volumes.
Yeah.
And the content within becomes the why behind the blessing or the statement or whatever it is that's being bracketed.
Okay, so I'm starting to see how understanding structure can help us identify the key themes and really grasp the writer's intention.
Yeah.
But how do we actually put this into practice?
Yeah, that's the big question, right?
Yeah, where do we begin?
Well, Dr. Bauer emphasizes that we should let the book itself guide us. He suggests looking for what he calls higher critical data.
Okay.
Clues within the text that shed light on its historical background.
Okay.
Things like authorship, the original audience, the occasion for writing.
Right.
These can offer valuable insights.
So instead of jumping right into the commentaries and the study notes,
right.
we should first try to piece together the context from the book itself.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Huh?
But sometimes it feels like I'm reading between the lines.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Any tips for deciphering this higher critical data?
Yeah, so Dr. Bauer suggests paying attention to the opening verses.
Okay.
They often reveal information about authorship or the intended audience.
Mm-hmm.
You might also find references to historical events or cultural practices that can provide context.
Gotcha.
For example, in the book of Philippians, Paul mentions being in prison.
Right.
Which helps us understand the circumstances surrounding the letter.
So it's like being a textual detective.
It is.
We're gathering evidence from the text itself to build a case.
Total.
For its historical background.
Mm.
And then we can compare our findings with what the scholars say and see if it all lines up.
Exactly. It's about becoming an active participant in the process of interpretation.
Yes.
Not just passively absorbing information.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's empowering.
It is.
It reminds me of that anecdote that he shared about Dr. Traina.
Oh, yeah.
Giving hour-long overviews of entire books just by focusing on key verses.
I love that story.
Yeah. And he highlighted how those specific verses illuminated the book's main themes and its overall structure.
Right.
And it's amazing how understanding structure makes you a more efficient and insightful reader.
It really does. It's like having a roadmap for the book.
Yes.
Instead of wandering around aimlessly, you can follow the structural signposts to the most important destinations.
So it sounds like book surveys are all about becoming more attentive and intentional readers.
Precisely. It's about slowing down, observing carefully, and letting the text itself guide our understanding.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Cool.
All right. So Dr. Bauer has a challenge for our listeners before we actually dive into his analysis of the book of Jude.
Yeah, he does.
He wants you to try your hand at a book survey.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah. He's like, okay, I've given you all this information.
Mm-hmm.
Now you go and do it.
Put it into practice. Yeah.
Yes. And it's a short book. It's only one chapter.
Right. Don't let its size fool you.
Yeah. Don't let its size fool you. It is packed with content.
It's a very rich book.
So just read through Jude and see what structural patterns you can identify.
Yep.
You know, don't worry about being perfect. Just observe and make note of anything that stands out to you.
Yeah. What literary devices do you see? What themes emerge? What key verses jump out at you?
What questions come up for you?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's all about the process of discovery.
Absolutely.
And I have a feeling that you will be surprised by what you uncover.
I think so, too. It's a really fun exercise.
All right, so after you've explored Jude on your own, we will reconvene for another deep dive.
Right.
And we will unpack Dr. Bauer's insights on the structure and message of this fascinating little book.
Sounds good.
But here's the thing that really struck me, and I think it's a great takeaway for our listeners.
Okay. All right.
Dr. Bauer mentioned that these structural patterns, they aren't limited to the Bible.
Right.
We see them in books. We see them in movies. We see them in everyday conversations.
It's so true. And right. Once you start to recognize these patterns, it changes the way you experience everything. Think about a powerful speech, for example. If you can identify the chiasm, you can grasp the speaker's main point more easily, and you can see how all the supporting arguments connect.
Or even in a novel, understanding how the author uses intercalation.
Yeah.
Weaving seemingly unrelated stories together can add layers of meaning and depth to your reading experience.
Exactly. And don't forget about those higher critical data clues we talked about.
Yeah.
Paying attention to context can unlock so much, whether you're reading a news article or listening to a podcast.
Absolutely.
You know, who's the author? What's their background? What might their motivations be?
It helps us become more critical thinkers, less susceptible to manipulation or misinformation.
It does. For
sure. We can evaluate different perspectives and form our own informed conclusions.
Well said.
So as you continue your deep dives, whether it's into the Bible, a captivating novel, or even just a conversation with a friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, sure.
Pay attention to structure, consider the context, and don't be afraid to ask questions. All right. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of inductive Bible study.
You got it.
We hope you've gained some valuable tools to enhance your understanding of the Bible and beyond. And remember...
And remember, the journey of discovery never ends.
Keep exploring, keep questioning, keep diving deep.
Keep diving deep. See you later.
Until next time, happy surveying.
Bye.
Bye-bye.